You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to fulfill His promises to us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I was a little kid, I was probably about 6 years old. There was a movie that I really, really wanted to see. There were all of these TV ads about it, and I was just sort of enamored by it. It was a movie kind of version of the story of Zorro. And as you know, as I was watching the commercials and as I was watching Zorro kind of like defeat the bad guys and do all that kind of stuff, I decided that I was Zorro. And so I was, you know, running around the house with a mask tied over my face, and I was doing this number to a lot of different things, and, zing the dog, zing a door, just all sorts of things. I was so into Zorro, and my dad knew it. And there was a moment that we had a little bit of time, and it was a possibility to take me to the movie, and he told me one day, Jay, after work, I'm going to take you to Zorro. And I said, oh, that's so awesome. And I was hyped the rest of the day. I probably couldn't even think about anything at school. At school, I was probably drawing Z's in my notebook paper. I was just so ready to see Zorro. And later on that day, I got home earlier than what my dad gets home from work. And so I'm kind of just sitting around waiting for Zorro to happen. And as I'm sitting around waiting for Zorro to happen, I get really sort of antsy. And so I decide that I'm going to call my dad. And so I call my dad, and in order to get to my dad, because of the job that he worked, I not only had to call my dad, but I had to go through kind of the switchboard operator, and then that switchboard operator then connected me to my dad's secretary, and then that secretary connected me finally to my dad. And so there was this big, long process of getting to my dad, and the first time I called him, I called him up, and I said, hey, Dad, just so that you know, I'm reminding you, Zorro is tonight. And he was like, yeah, Jay, I know. Thank you very much. I'll see you later on after work. And so I hung up the phone and, you know, walking around the house getting super hyped up for Zorro. And I start kind of like just, oh, man, you know, it's getting kind of late. It was probably like 30 minutes, but it was getting kind of late. And so I decided, once again, I was going to pick up the phone and I was going to call and I talked to the operator and then I talked to my dad's secretary and then I got to my dad and I said, hey, Dad, just so you know, Zorro's coming up tonight. And he said, yes, Jay, thank you. I know. I'll see you at home. And so I hung up the phone and I'm walking around and I'm playing Zorro and I'm getting all hyped up for it. And it's been about another 30 minutes and I just can't wait to get to Zorro. And I'm legitimately kind of starting to wonder if we're going to have enough time to actually get over to the movie theater and buy the popcorn and do everything that we need to do in order to go see the movie. And so what do? I pick up the phone. And I talked to the operator, and I talked to my dad's secretary, and I talked to my dad, and I'm like, Dad, just so you know, Zorro is tonight, and I'm not sure we're going to make it. My dad says, we're going to make it, Jay. It's not going to be a problem, but you should probably not call and remind me again. I said, okay. And so I hung up the phone and I paced nervously like the rest of the afternoon until my dad came back. And I said, he's back. And we got in the car and we drove to the movie theater and we got the popcorn and we sat and we watched the movie, and the movie was such a disappointment. But it was okay, because my dad kept his promise and we got to see Zorro together. Well, keeping your promises is something that not everybody does. And because of that, we get sort of anxious when people promise us stuff. We even get anxious when God promises us stuff. And so as we begin this sort of Sunday's readings, we start it off with this reading about God coming to Abram and telling Abram that he's kind of renewing a promise. He's already told Abram that, hey, you know, you're going to be the father of many people. I'm going to make your descendants like many stars, many sands. And yet, Abram doesn't have the exactly everything that's going to be necessary for that. And here we're jumping in, and the author makes a point to tell us how old Abram is. Abram is 99 years old. He's 99, and he's kind of waiting for this moment that God is going to fulfill this promise. And God comes to him in this 99th year, and he gives him kind of the promise again. The promise this time, though, is sort of put together with a new name. And so he says, hey, you know what? This promise is so secure that I'm going to rename you. You're no longer going to be called Avram. You just kind of regular, exalted father is what it means. And you're going to be Avraham. You're going to be the father of many. And so Abram is hearing this, and he's listening to this, and he's, you know, struggling to believe this and struggling to believe God's promise. And God then says, on top of that, your wife, Sarai, you're not going to call her Sarai anymore. You're going to call her Sarah because of the same sort of expansiveness of that name. And so Abram kind of is struggling with the idea here, because we know that later on, Abram starts to kind of figure things out, and he starts to go, well, God hasn't given me a son yet. And so if God hasn't given me a son yet, and I'm 99 and I'm this old, well, then maybe I need to kind of take things into my own hands. Maybe I need to find somebody else who's going to be the mother to this heir that I'm going to have. And then I can kind of work that out. And as I do that, then everything will work out. God will have fulfilled his promise to me, and everything will be good. I just have to figure out how that happens. And God says to Abram a little bit later on, no, that's a dumb idea. Because I have promised you, and the promises that I make to you are promises that stick. But Abram had a little bit of a problem believing that promise. Sort of like I had a little bit of a problem believing my dad's promise that we were going to go see Zorro. Abram was, you know, he was walking around. He was getting super hyped about having a son. And he just got to this point where he wasn't quite sure that this was going to happen. And so as we fast forward from that story with Abram, we fast forward all the way to the New Testament. And Jesus is hanging around with his disciples. And he's hanging around with his disciples, and as they're walking, he asks them, hey, by the way, who do people say that I am? And, you know, immediately the response seems to be John the Baptist, which is weird because John the Baptist is just sort of recently dead. And so as they're kind of like going through this, the disciples seem to be like saying, well, Jesus, some people think that you are a reincarnated person who you've actually met before. You know, it's this weird thing where they're like, didn't they see that Jesus and John the Baptist were in the same room at the same time? They don't seem to kind of get that. But, okay, well, some people are saying John the Baptist. Other people are saying Elijah. Well, at least they haven't been in the same room together, at least until the Transfiguration. And so you've got that kind of like questioning thing of like, oh, okay, well, why would they believe that he was Elijah? Well, Elijah was supposed to come before the Messiah came. And the Messiah was this really great figure. It was this figure that Israel had been waiting for a very, very long time. The Messiah had been prophesied at least as early as Isaiah. And even if you look back far enough, you can even say that he was prophesied, even in Genesis, even in Deuteronomy, that he was this figure that was prophesied to come. And the Jewish people had been, well, they'd been kind of waiting for this promise to happen. They'd been waiting for this promise to happen, and they'd been waiting for this Messiah to come. And they were kind of like, well, when is he going to come? You know, I know that he's going to come, but I don't know when that's going to happen because it's been many, 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 many years. And people were looking for this Messiah. They were trying to make guesses about when he was going to come. They were trying to guess even kind of who he was. In fact, there was even somebody during Jesus' time, a guy named Rabbi Hillel, who said that, well, the Messiah was not going to come for Israel because he had already come in the person of the king Hezekiah, who was in Isaiah's prophecies. And so there were a lot of people that were even kind of skeptical on if, well, is the Messiah going to come around? And so he's asking these questions, you know, who do people say that I am? And then he switches it. And so he switches it up and he goes, okay, well, that's who other people say that I am. Now, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter's got the Sunday school answer like ready to go, right? He goes, well, you are the Christ. To us, that's the Sunday school answer, right? Because we know Christ is just Jesus' last name. In case you thought that, no harm, no foul, it's not. Christ is his title. And in fact, Christ means Messiah. And so this figure that they had been waiting for this long time is just sort of the Greek of the Greekified version of what Messiah is. It's how you would have said Messiah in Greek. And so when Peter says, you are the Christ, what he's saying is, you are the Messiah. You're the one that God promised to us. And we've been waiting on this promise for so long. Because the promise of the Messiah, along with that promise, came a promise of things like that sin would be eradicated from Israel, that all of the Israelites would start to get along with one another, that the 12 tribes of Israel, 10 of whom had been sort of missing for a long, long time, for many centuries, that they would all sort of come out of the woodwork and they would come together. And all of these sort of promises, some of them had to do with things from the Bible. Some of them were just sort of dreamed up. But either way, there were all these sort of hopes and dreams that were tied up in who this Messiah was going to be. And here Peter was saying, you're the Messiah. And so it's not a Sunday school answer for Peter. For Peter to say this is a massive thing. This is the moment where Peter is sort of going, I believe that who you are is the person that God has promised to our people for hundreds upon hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. And that's why Jesus sort of says, okay, this is a great thing that you have recognized, but sort of keep it to yourselves. Because that's what Jesus does in the Gospel of Mark. He kind of talks about what this is going to mean with his disciples, but he wants them to keep it close until the moment where he actually does the Messiah thing and goes to the cross and dies for our sins. And so we kind of get, all right, this is a big deal for Peter. Peter recognizes that that God is fulfilling his promise when he sends Jesus, and Peter understands that, and because Peter understands that, now we understand that. We understand that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who has come in order to save us from our sins. Jesus is the one who has come in order to bring us reconciliation with God. Jesus has even come to be the one who brings us reconciliation with one another, that his forgiveness not only applies between us and God, but that his forgiveness actually begins to work on us as a community. As we are forgiven, we know that we can forgive one another, and that brings us together. It's such this kind of beautiful thing. And yet, I think there's some point at which we just go, well, Christ is his last name. And it's not that big of a deal. When we say Christ, a lot of times we just sort of say it as just a tack on, just an add on, and we don't really think about what it means for him to be the Messiah. Because what it means for him to be the Messiah is that he's the answer to the promise. And I think sometimes we get that twisted up, and when we get it twisted up, things start to get a little bit out of focus. And as we start things out of focus, as if we keep things out of focus, where we end up is that we start to believe that we're the answer to the promise. Just like Abram. We start to think things through. We start to go, Jesus, your church has been around for about 2,000 years and things still aren't real great. You haven't come back. So, well, maybe I need to do some stuff. Maybe this is really kind of coming down on all just what I'm supposed to do. And so we start to think about all of the stuff that we're supposed to do, all of the stuff that we know that we're supposed to do, all of the stuff that we've read in the Gospels, all of the stuff that we've read in the Old Testament, all of the stuff from Paul that we've read, all of that stuff that becomes like this huge burden that we're carrying around because we think, oh man, I'm the answer to the promise. But the problem with that is that just like Peter, we're getting things messed up. That instead of having our minds on the things of God, we're having our minds on the things of human beings, of things of man. And so there's a beautiful joy that comes around when we refocus. When we refocus and we start to shift and we start to see that the answer to the problems that are before us, the solution to God's promise that he's given to us is Jesus himself. And that when we start to see Jesus as the answer to the problem, that all of a sudden, all of the things that we kind of feel like we need to work on seem to kind of minimize, not exactly go away, but minimize. Because there's a point at which when we say, okay, there's stuff here for me to do, that all of a sudden that's a burden on us. But when Christ says, I've already done all of that stuff and I'm giving you your cross to bear, well, that's something that we can take on. Because it's no longer something that is above and beyond what we're able to do. That God has fulfilled his promise with us. That when we see Jesus at work forgiving our sins, that we are led into the belief that by that forgiveness of sins, a whole host of other good stuff happens. That when our sins are forgiven, We are brought back into community with God. When our sins are forgiven, we're brought back into community with one another. When our sins are forgiven, we are brought back into community, even with the strangers in the world around us. In a lot of ways, that's what the psalm is talking about. That when we're brought back into that community that believes that Jesus is the answer to the promise, that believes that God is the answer to his own promises, that then we find peace within ourselves, peace with other people, and peace with God. And so as we go out into this world, it's a difficult thing. But we have the challenge before us to trust that Jesus is somehow the answer. Are we going to get exactly how he's the answer all of the time? Well, did Abraham get how Jesus was the answer? Did Abraham get how God was the answer? Did Peter get completely how Jesus was the answer? No. But if we trust God like they trusted God, we will see that he is a God who works out his promises. And sure, just like my dad, you can call him and you can say, "Hey, God, I'm getting really hyped for this. I know that your church can do amazing things. I know that the resurrection is going to be awesome. Did you realize it's getting kind of late?" And God will come back to us and tell us to be patient, and God will tell us that he has this in his plan, and that we can just hang up the phone and keep on getting hyped because we know that it's going to happen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.